Chapter 17, Section 4, Examining Canonical. With a basic understanding of horizons, porters, forces and legacy, then we can now examine the business of canonical. The Horizon 1, core business, was related to selling support on the server OS operating system. However, compute was evolving to more utility provision. Hence, with the exception of large cloud providers, then the server OS support was likely to become a legacy business. Instead, we needed to focus on Horizon 2 and the commercial use of guest OS on top of these large virtualized computing environments. We understood that companies would have inertia to these changes, and being a shift from product to commodity forms, it was likely to be a punctuated equilibrium period of rapid change. We also understood that the biggest threats into this space would be new entrants, and given the state of strategic play in many companies, then we were likely to see centralization. I've drawn these concepts onto the map in Figure 223. See Figure 223, the changing market, for more details. We also understood that co-evolved practices would emerge, that we were unlikely to see significant savings in IT but instead increased development activity, and that a further horizon, the shift of platform from product to utility, was possible. I've marked up these horizons onto Figure 224. See Figure 224, the horizons, for more details. In terms of play, we understood that moving fast and land-grabbing the guest OS territory was essential. To help in this, we also needed to support those developing applications or building tooling around those co-evolved practices. If we found examples of platforms plays in this space, we also needed to be invested in this. We understood that many potential customers would have inertia, hence we'd have to provide some forms of transitional or private cloud offer, even if this did nothing more than get the conversation started. We also knew our competitors had inertia. As soon as I discovered Red Hat salespeople were rewarded bonuses based upon satellite subscriptions used for security updates, then I quickly set about promoting a message that security should be free in the cloud. There's nothing like threatening someone's bonus to get them to turn against a change. Our focus was clear within my cabal. Mark did an amazing job of turning this into the entire company focus. Rick and others set about putting in engineering effort to make it happen. Steve gave me all the firepower and cover I needed. For my part, I mainly focused on promoting Ubuntu's cloud message, being involved in the community, highlighting targets to bring on board, and trying to stop people rebuilding or getting in the way of things that the community was doing. An outline of the play is provided in Figure 225 and the result in Figure 226. Within 18 months, Ubuntu went from a small part of the operating system to dominating the cloud guest OS. My part was a minor but instrumental role, and I have to applaud the marvelous teams at Canonical and within the community for making it happen. A small company of 300 took on the might of two giant hordes, but unlike the Spartans, this time we won. My proudest moment came from hearing a CIO talk about how the future was all Red Hat and then suddenly it was all Ubuntu. I played a small part in that. See Figure 225, our focus. For more details, see Figure 226, the results. For more details. I often hear people talk about how Canonical was lucky. Well, there's always some element of luck, but the moves were deliberate. Obviously, people can just say the timing was lucky, but they'd be wrong on that as well. I had a helping hand with timing thanks to Gartner. They probably don't even realize, but I think it's worth explaining.